This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, joined by baseball insider Andy Carboni. Andy, welcome. I know last week you were presenting a half glass, half full kind of optimism, but maybe that's waned a bit here.
It certainly has, Bill. My glass is about completely dry at this point.
Not even half anything, you're right. Yeah.
Far from it. Yesterday afternoon, the Red Sox wrapped up a six-game homestand, losing 4-1 to the Pirates, getting swept in the three-game series. Corey Kluber taking a second loss already of the season. This afternoon, the Sox head to the Motor City, going up against the Detroit Tigers in their home opener. First pitch at 1:10. Chris Sale will be on the mound for the local nine. He will try to right the ship after his first performance of the year.
Well, the good thing about Sale is he did get innings in. I mean, that's the mantra this spring for Chris Sale. Yeah.
Yeah, he got innings all right, just three. We'll recap that in just a moment, but we'll start things off after the opening day loss to the Orioles 10-9. Sox now 59-63 with one tie in the first game of the season. And Alex Cora now 0-5 on opening day as a manager. In that game, Corey Kluber gave up 5 runs and 3 1/3, including 2 home runs. The Orioles stole 5 bases against the Sox. Then on Saturday, as we mentioned, Chris Sale. Red Sox did win 8-7 on a 2-out, 2-run walk-off home run by Adam Duvall. That was his second home run of the game, which queued up the first LED light show in Fenway Park history. I wasn't too thrilled about that, Bill, as you would expect. Sale gave up 7 runs over 3 innings, including 3 home runs, and the Orioles again stole 5 bases. On Sunday, Red Sox beat the Orioles 9-5 as Duvall had 3 more hits, drove in 2 more runs. He became the first player in Sox history to have 6 extra base hits in his first 3 games with the team. Sox became the third team to score at least 9 runs in the first 3 games of the season, joining the 1976 Reds and the 1978 Brewers. Tanner Houck didn't fare all that well in this one. He gave up 3 runs over 5 innings, but gave up 2 more home runs. Long balls are an issue for the starting rotation as this season's got underway. Then the Pirates came into town on Monday, beat the Red Sox 7-6. The Red Sox did get home runs from Devers, Yoshida, and Cassis. Red Sox left 12 runners on base, but again, the starting pitching was an issue. Cutter Crawford took the loss, allowing 7 runs in 4 innings. He gave up 3 home runs. And on Tuesday, Pirates beat the Red Sox 4-1. Nick Pivetta gave up 3 runs in 5 innings, including 2 long balls.
Andy, are these light shows just if it's a walk-off win or if it's any win?
It's not just on the win situation. What I'm hearing right now is those light shows could be flashing around on any home run, never mind a game winner or winning the game. So this is getting a little out of hand. What's going on with this new LED light tower situation at Fenway Park? I can understand the way they want to get the younger crowd a little more excited on things going on, but definitely a change from our day, Bill.
No doubt. No, there's no doubt about it. I'm not totally opposed to it, but I do think it's kind of ridiculous in a way that, I mean, the first time they did it was with a walk-off win. Okay, great, but for me anyway. But, you know, here comes August, and you're in last place, and you finally win a game, and the LED light show goes off. I mean, come on. I don't know. But anyways.
Yeah, there should be some discrepancy in how this light show goes on and off all the time. But, I mean, even in that same game, when Duvall hit the walk-off, Alex Verdugo hit a home run, and the Red Sox were down at that point. And he was acting like they just won Game 7 of the World Series with a celebration, and they were down 4 or 5 runs at the time. Uh-huh. I mean, you know, you have to know the room. Read the room.
read the room.
I mean, what are we doing here? I mean, well, I can understand what they're trying to do, but it has to be done the right way.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they're being told to just sell it, go nuts, no matter what happens. You're right.
Apparently so. It's looking that way, that's for sure.
All right. Well, they only got one game to practice that in, I guess, more or less here. But, man, okay, let me think. And the other thing, Andy, so troubling, all those stolen bases against the Orioles. Crazy.
Yeah, it certainly was. I mean, obviously that has a lot to do with the new rules situation about not being able to throw over to first base on pickoff attempts more than twice, and then you have the bigger bases and whatnot, but the Orioles certainly exposed the Red Sox with those. I thought the Pirates would be running more in the three-game series, even though they swept the Red Sox. They didn't run as much, but yeah, that's going to be, I mean, it's across baseball right now. Stolen bases are up a great amount so far this season.
Oh, all right, fine. All right, what other Red Sox news notes do you have for us here?
Well, maybe there'll be some help in the pitching department coming up. Garrett Whitlock scheduled to come off the injured list on Tuesday and start against the Rays in St. Petersburg. Ryan Baio had a a start down in Fort Myers in extended spring training. He threw 7 innings yesterday. He could be on his way back as well in the next few weeks, so hopefully there'll be some assistance coming for the pitching staff. We'll have to see how that all plays out.
All right, other news from the team? I know we got a ton of MLB news here coming up, too, but what else do you have?
Well, if you didn't hear about this, David Ortiz is going to serve as the Grand Marshal for the Boston Marathon, and the Red Sox have kept it quiet, but there are plans in the works for an on-field reunion of the 2013 World Series Championship team to coincide with the marathon.
Oh, that's nice. Why, kind of a 10-year anniversary. There you go. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And other news notes, Andy?
Well, there is now a women's locker room off the Red Sox clubhouse at Fenway, in case you didn't know. Sox do have 2 women minor league coaches, so I guess they're just getting themselves ready when there's now going to be potentially a woman on the coaching staff for the big club someday.
All right, fair enough. Nesson Plus, what do we have today, Andy? Hopefully a win.
Well, you can count on that, Bill. We've now moved into Red Sox on this day on Nesson Plus tonight. It's a game from April 6th of 1988. Sox score 4 runs in the bottom of the 8th. Come back and beat the Tigers 6-5. First pitch tonight, 10 o'clock, so have to stay up late for that one.
Oh, my goodness. But, folks, enjoy the game if you'd like, but there will be no light show at the end of this one.
Not even close.
Not even close. All right. Those old non-LED lights, those were the days when they had those games. I grew up then. They had light bulbs. Okay. Andy, Major League Baseball news. Lots of stuff happening. What do you got for us?
Well, the minor leagues ratified their first collective bargaining agreement with the Major League Baseball. It's a 5-year deal. Minimum salaries at AAA, for example, increased from $17,500 to $35,800. Players will be paid in the offseason for the first time, and they'll be guaranteed housing.
Mm-hmm. And other news?
Well, Major League Baseball suspended Angels third baseman Anthony Rendon for 4 games and fined him an undisclosed amount of money after he got into an altercation with a fan in Oakland last week. Rendon was seen grabbing the fan by the shirt as he exited the first base dugout. Rendon claimed the man called him an explicit word. He took a swipe at him after letting go of the shirt. So that could have got real ugly if he actually made contact with the fan. But, in a way, I'm surprised you don't see more of this. Some fans get out of control yelling at players. But, this one was caught on video, and it happened the other day. So hopefully it's not going to be a trend. But, that was something different to see, that's for sure.
Yeah, and funny, Andy, I have the same feeling, but on the other hand, it's so early in the season for this to be happening. Oh, my goodness.
I mean, definitely getting that wound up that quick.
No, come on.
For sure.
Come on, it's not even above 50 degrees here. What else do you have?
Well, Rockies closer and former Red Sox pitcher Daniel Bard has been placed on the injury list because of anxiety. Bard added, it's a hard thing to admit, but he's grateful to the Rockies for being understanding and accepting his situation. The 37-year-old most recently pitched for Team USA in the World Baseball Classic, but struggled with his control in a game against Venezuela. Bard notably stepped away from baseball back in 2013 after dealing with the yips. He did return to the majors in 2020. And White Sox closer Liam Hendrick completed his last dose of cancer treatment for non-Hodgkin lymphoma yesterday. Still no timetable for his return. 34-year-old had a 2.81 ERA and 37 saves for the White Sox and named to his third career All-Star game.
I know you have a few other notes here too, right?
Absolutely. The Rangers received some good news on the injury front. Outfielder Josh Smith had no facial fracture after being hit in the face with a pitch back on Monday. He did receive 6 stitches to the lower right side of his face, dealing with some swelling, kind of similar to the situation with Justin Turner back in spring training, getting hit in the face with the pitch. Unfortunately for Turner, there were no major injuries there as well. Former Braves center fielder Andrew Jones is going to have his number 25 retired at Truist Park on September 9th. Jones becomes the 11th player in franchise history to have his number retired. Jones, a 5-time All-Star, played 12 years with Atlanta from 1996 to 2007, hitting 368 home runs and had over 1,100 RBI.
Well, Andy, I know we always have a great baseball insider podcast when you can drop the name Babe Ruth. Tell us about it.
Oh, absolutely. An auction house in Pennsylvania recently sold a bat that was used by Babe Ruth for a record $1.85 million. Of course, that sets a new record among baseball bat sales. So check those attics and those farmhouses across the country. There could be another one floating around there somewhere.
Very good. Oh, man. And you always bring the obscure out to us as well. What else is, wrap it up.
Wild scene on opening night. Love might conquer all, but it was no match for Dodgers Stadium security on opening night. A fan wearing a Mookie Betts jersey ran out to center field during that game against the Diamondbacks. He got down on one knee, held up a ring toward his girlfriend in the stands, but then he got leveled by a security guard officer going full speed. It was a clear block. This guy should be signed up by the NFL somewhere. Two more security guards joined in to take him off the field, and I did hear that that ring popped out of the guy's hand and landed somewhere in the outfield. They had to search for that as well, so that was that was a scene. Generally, you don't get to see those situations where the security guards do get a hold of those people running on the field, but there's plenty of film on this one with people's cell phones, and you want to go look for that online because this guy, he did get decked. No question. I'm surprised that guy didn't suffer some severe injuries the way he got leveled.
We'll search for that and see if we can put it on this post here. But doesn't it does sound like just a fantastic idea to run out on the field with a ring and propose to your girlfriend that way. What could have gone wrong?
Yeah, exactly. Well, just, you know, it's all good from here.
You know, back when I was a kid, when people would run out on the field, we would love it. We'd laugh, and it'd be a lot of fun for the. You know, it actually is like a circus. You know, people chasing these guys around. I mean, it was a different time back then. Yeah.
Yeah, and there was no LED light show flashing when those players, people were running on the field, and those guys are being chased by the security guards. See, now you have probably former, you know, athletes chasing these people. Before, it was a lot of older guys out there trying to find these, you know, chase down these people running on the field. So it's different all around.
I'm going to use an old-timer comparison here, but if you're an old guy, like myself, Andy, and you've got some pains in the body, and you look back at this Red Sox team for the first six games or whatever, what pains you the most about what you have seen? How do you like that little transition, Andy?
Oh, very nice. I like that one. That's why you're the professional. Definitely the situation with the starting pitching. The bullpen itself hasn't been that bad overall. I mean, you really can't complain about the relief staff, but the fact that the starting pitchers really can't get deep into a game and giving up home runs left and right. I mean, granted, yesterday Corey Kluber did pitch better, but he only went five innings, and he got taken out, and the bullpen had a little bit of a hiccup, but, you know, the Sox are losing when Kluber came out anyways. But that's definitely the situation that fans should be a little concerned about. You know, that and the base running situation with the stolen bases. But again, all teams are really dealing with that right now, so that's not, to me, the major issue. It's more or less giving up the long ball by the starters and then not getting deep into games.
Well, I appreciate your insight on that stealing situation. When you give up 10 stolen bases in your first two games, and that's what it was, right? I mean, something like that, right?
Yeah.
That's concerning, I thought.
Track meet.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Andy, great talking with you. Good stuff. And we will talk again soon.
We'll be looking forward to it.
There he is, baseball insider Andy Carbone. I'm Bill Newell, right here on MSONewsSports.com.